Praise be to God. Is everybody all right? Oh, sweet presence of Daddy here this morning. Hallelujah. Quick, simple teaching called the cup of victory. The cup of victory. If you'll grab your swords this morning. Hallelujah. You know, the word koinonia is a representation, is a Greek word, which is a representation of communion. Communion. When we take communion with the Lord, that's, the Greek word is koinonia. In fact, there was a restaurant I used to go to, which I really liked. I didn't understand why I liked it. Well, the food was very good, and it was all healthy food, and I was a heathen then. And I used to go there, and it was called the koinonia. Didn't know it was communion, although they were communing with the devil over there. And we were I'm not sure, but it was called koinonia, and it was a representation of communion. And sometimes we lose sight of communion because there was a price to pay. And it's called the cup of victory. A cup is a representation. Everything in the Word of God is symbolic. The cup is a representation of portion. We know that there's the cup of blessing, there's a cup of trembling, and we're calling today the cup of victory. And in Psalm 75, if you'll go there for a moment, please. In Psalm 75, hallelujah. The cup of victory. The cup means portion, like a portion. It also means price. Because there was a price to fill that cup with. Like I shared that there's the cup of blessing, the cup of trembling, cup of wrath. In fact, in the book of Revelation, you'll see that there are vessels and bowls and so forth, representation portions of God's wrath being poured out, isn't it? So a cup holds something, doesn't it? It holds something. And like I said, a cup in the Bible is a representation symbolic, meaning price or portion, and both. In Psalm 75, in verse 6, hallelujah. Is everybody there?
Amen.
For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is judge. But God is what?
Judge.
And he puts down one and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a what?
Cup.
Ah. And the wine is red, it is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. Now we know that this cup is a representation of what? Wrath. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. So we see that in the hands of the Lord is a what?
Cup.
A cup. Like I said, this cup is a representation. If you read this psalm all the way through, and it talks about a cup of blessing and a cup of wrath. Every one of us is known as a vessel, aren't we? We are a cup in ourselves. Everyone has been given a cup by God. We all hold a cup. Let's go to Judges 7. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit, bring us to the place. Furubatu Shukaravasakya. And Judges chapter 7. Is everybody there? Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the west of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" So we see that Gideon was getting ready to lead an army. Most of us know about the story. And the Lord said, "There's too many of you. Somebody's got to go, because then you're going to claim the glory and not me." In verse 3, "Therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is what? Fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained." So there was 32,000 warriors out there. 22,000 were not willing to carry their own cup. Hello? But 10,000 were going to attempt to. In verse 4, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the what? Water. And I will test them for you there.'" So the Lord's going to test these 10,000 that are left. "And it will be that of whom I say to you, the one, this one shall go with you, and the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the what? Water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as the dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." So we see that there are two things here. Some are going to lap like a dog, and there's going to be others that are going to get... Now, does a dog get down on its knees to drink? No. Amen. And he says, and the ones that separate those who are going to drink like a dog and separate those who are going to get on their knees. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. In other words, they were drinking like what? A dog. Because the tongue goes down and licks up, brings up the water to its mouth. And there were what? 300 of them. But all the rest of the people got down on their what? Knees and drank water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." So we see we started with 32,000 people. The Lord said, listen, those who are afraid and fear, they can go back. In other words, they weren't willing to carry their cup. The other 10,000 who were carrying their cup, only 300 of them knew how to drink out of it correctly. Does everybody get it? Those are the ones that God was calling to war. Every one of us has a cup. Everyone must carry his own cup. And depending on how you drink out of that cup, depends on what place you'll be positioned in the body of Christ. Is everybody with me? The cup is a representation of portion and price. Portion and price. Many of us have been carrying the cup and not drinking out of it correctly. In other words, still holding the cup, but still having parts of the world. Still getting thirst from the things of God, but still getting thirst from the things of the world. God cannot trust us. Let's go to Psalm 116. Hallelujah. Man, it's quiet in here this morning. Glory to God. Psalm 116. Hallelujah. verse 12. For what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation. That was a price that was paid, wasn't it? And call upon the name of the Lord. And I will put my vows to the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You cannot carry the cup until you become dead to yourself. Is everybody with me? The price of death is self. Amen? The price of death is self. Remember, I share with you that there is a price in carrying this cup. And Genesis 44. Now, we all remember Joseph, the story of Joseph. And Genesis 44. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 44, verse 1. Now we know that in the book of Genesis in 44, Joseph was sold by his brothers, wasn't he? It was a price, wasn't it? And God allowed him to go into Egypt and to become ruler. Now, there was a great price that Joseph had to pay, dying to himself, didn't he? He had to let go of everything and let God position him for a specific reason, for a purpose, and for a season. This is a prime example of Joseph willing to carry the cup. Only God can fill your cup. And the Holy Spirit teaches us how to drink out of it. If we're listening. Joseph. Now Joseph's brothers came to Egypt because of the famine. Joseph in his flesh wanted vengeance at first. He was uncertain. I know he was struggling. His own brothers sold him. And he had to go through all kinds of torment and tribulation, humiliation. And he had become a slave. But as he let go and let God, God, now he was one of the best slaves they ever had. I mean, he was the most prospering slave that there ever was because the Lord was with him. And in verse 1, now that his brothers were there because they came to get, because during the famine, they came to get some food. And Joseph commanded his steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, but put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. In other words, because his brothers were paying for it, but his brothers did not know who Joseph was yet. Okay? Also put my what?
Cup.
The silver cup in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his grain money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. And as soon as the morning dawned, the men went and were sent away, they and their donkeys. Now we know that this cup, you notice how God uses a cup? He didn't put a staff in there. He didn't put a note in there. He put a cup in there, didn't he? He put a cup. So he put this cup in there because he knew that he was going to be able to use this cup to bring the rest of his family. He was going to use his cup. Now listen, the cup was going into the youngest, who was what? Benjamin. Okay? He was the youngest. It was going to bring Benjamin back so that he could hold them for the rest of the family to come. So the cup was being used for a specific purpose, wasn't it? Okay. Let's go to verse 11. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack, because Joseph had sent his soldiers to stop him, saying that one of his cups was missing. So he searched. He began with the oldest, left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. In verse 40, chapter 45, in verse 1. I mean, God does these things. You know that? In verse 1 in chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him and cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." To preserve what?
Life.
Do you understand? The cup that God has given me and you. It's His purpose and His will. So that He would use us to preserve life.
Amen.
Life. Life is very precious to God. He is the giver of life. He allowed Joseph to carry the cup. Joseph did not defile the cup that God gave him. Joseph was not able to, unless he was able to carry his own cup, he could not use that cup to bring his family back. Do you understand that? God gave him the authority and the ability to use a cup. There's a cup that we carry for His glory. In this cup is His presence, His glory, His will, His relationship, His life. The ark itself was a representation of the cup. The ark carried His presence, carried His word, carried His blessings, carried His gifts, carried Himself. The cup. In Isaiah 51, we see here now that the cup was also known as the cup of what? Rescue. The cup of rescue in Isaiah 51. Praise be to God. Isaiah 51 and verse 22. I guess we'll start at verse 21. "Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of His people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it." You know, when we were serving the devil, we had a cup of trembling, man. We had a cup of affliction. God's wrath was upon us. "But I'll put into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, 'Lie down, that we may walk over you.' And you have laid your body like the ground. And as the street for those who walk over you. Only the Lord can take the cup from me and you." The cup of what? The cup of trembling. And replace it. And refill it. With the cup of blessing. The cup of glory. The cup of peace. The cup of joy. The cup of life. The cup of rescue. Every one of us is a cup of the Lord. We are known as his what? Treasure. Treasure. Everyone who took a cup, remember, they were toasting the king of, what was it, Egypt? Or Israel, I forgot where. But the king that took, or Babylon, that's what it was. They took the treasures out of the house of the Lord. And they were toasting to the God of gold and silver. And the writing came on the wall and warned them. Why? Because they began to worship what God created. But they were holding the cup of trembling and the cup of wrath of God and didn't even know it. Because they took something precious to God, his treasure. The Bible says, touch not the anointed. You are the cup of the Lord. You are his anointed cup, filled with his hidden treasures and mysteries of God, known as the vessel. Anyone who takes this cup and defiles it expects the wrath of God.
Amen.
Let's go a little further. In Psalm 23. Hallelujah. In Psalm 23. You'll have to bear with me because the things that are coming to me are coming to me now. That's all I have is some scriptures written down, but I'm only dealing with saying what the Lord's putting on my heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Psalm 23. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now we know that the word want means lack. The Lord, when the Lord is truly your shepherd, that means he is your Lord and your Savior. You've given your life, and when you've given your life, you don't lack anything.
Amen.
In verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, you'll eat the things. Pastures is a representation of fresh food. He leads me beside what? Still waters. Why? So that you can drink. He's talking about spiritual food and spiritual drink. Now, when he's your Lord and your shepherd, and you have given your life to him, he leads you to get food, and he leads you to get drink. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Now that you're eating and drinking the things of him, you are able to walk upright, declaring his goodness, his love, and bringing exaltation to his name. In verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Even though that you're going to walk through afflictions, torments, tribulations, you know that the wrath of God is not on you because you're walking uprightly, but it's for your teaching. It's for your building to be perfected, to carry that cup. Sometimes a cup needs to get a little polished, needs to get refilled again. Sometimes it needs to get emptied so it can be refilled. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Nothing greater than, you know, we get chastened by the Lord, don't we? For guidance. What the Bible tells us that a fool rejects the instructions of the Lord. But we should love the instruction of the Lord. Because he says he chastens those he loves. So we should love the chastening of the Lord. I've had people come up to me and say, man, don't you just hate the chastening of the Lord? I said, no. You don't know him then.
Amen.
You don't know him. In verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Ah, that table was what a table we were talking about this morning. The table that a baby leans on and grabs hold of. We got to let go of the table and take what's on the table. You anoint my head with oil, my what? My cup runs over. But there was the place for the cup to run over. If you start right from the beginning and go down from verse 1 all the way to verse 6, that's how his cup runs over. Verse 5. And verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? Because my cup is running over. That's God's presence, isn't it? You know, when your cup is filled and running over with God's presence and His glory and His blessings, you can't help but His mercy follow you. You can't help but His goodness follow you. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can't help but dwell in God's presence forever. The cup runs over when the Lord is truly all to you. Everything. No matter what it is, He is everything to you. Your cup will run over. And Matthew 23. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Matthew 23. Praise be to God. In verse 25. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees and said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, and inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." So the Lord sees our cup. We can have it all polished up on the outside, but on the inside it could be pretty wretched. That's what the Lord says. He judges not by the appearance of man, but by his heart. Amen. Verse 26, he says, "Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Hallelujah. Remember, he says, there are many that have a form of godliness, but deny the power. There are many that will come in my name. They'll have sheep's clothing on, but inside there'll be wolves. And verse 27. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and are unclean." Sometimes we become so dry that we become dead men's bones. And the reason is because we're not taking time with the Lord. Only the Lord can fill your cup. In verse 28, "Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And this is where we must judge ourselves. It's a representation of self-ambitions. Me, myself, and I. Not about how can I better expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name. How can I better be the witness? Where is my desires at? Where is my will at? Am I taking time with God? Am I interceding for others? Or is it always me, 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 me? And Matthew 9. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 16. Matthew 9 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on the old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and tear And the terror is what?
Made worse.
Nor, verse 17, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into a new wineskin, and both are preserved. Now, Jesus is the new wine. Amen. Now, we know that's a representation of the Holy Spirit, right? And we are the wineskin, or representation of the cup. In fact, in Jeremiah 18, it tells us that we are also, does anybody know, the clay. Amen. And Jesus is the potter. He's always trying to mold something and fill us. That's why we're known as the cup. The cup can't crack. The cup can't get overwhelmed. The cup can't be anxious for nothing, because it begins to spill its own wine. Does everybody get it? And then what happens? The cup comes tarnished, and you try to put a new wine in it, and it won't hold it. Won't hold it. Won't hold it until the cup is cleansed, because they must be parallel. New wine must have a clean cup. You don't take a dirty cup and put new wine in it. You take a clean cup and put new wine in it. Does everybody get it? That's why it's important for me and you to make sure that our cup is clean, polished up, so that the outwardness represents the inwardness. In Matthew 20. Hallelujah. In Matthew 20 and verse 17. Matthew 20 and verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, He took them where? On the side of the road and spoke to them. Sometimes we need to get on the side of the road and begin to listen to what Jesus is saying. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. He was explaining his cup. And deliver him to the Gentiles and mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. Then the mother of Zebedee, her sons, came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on the other left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" So he was talking about, he was already baptized with the baptism, right? And now he knew that he had to drink the cup to fulfill what God had given him to do. And they said to him, "We are able." Now the Bible tells us that we are blessed in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's what they wanted. They wanted to sit on the right hand and on the left. And so he said to them, "You will indeed drink my what?
Cup.
You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give. But it is for those," now listen, "it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. In other words, he said, it's for those who are willing to drink the cup and those who are willing to be baptized, the baptism that I'm in. It is prepared for them. The cup of what? The cup of suffering. The cup of suffering. Look at, let's go to, Acts 9. The cup of suffering. Praise be to God. Acts 9, the cup of suffering, the cup of the baptism. Acts 9, Jesus said that he what? He didn't come to bring peace, but to bring a sword. He came as a what? Servant, didn't he? He came to serve. Look at Acts 9. Are we there? Good. Hallelujah. And verse 1. Acts 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now we see that the ones that were of the way were disciples of Jesus, weren't they? They were going through sufferings, weren't they? They were carrying the cup. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he what? Trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now in the meantime, the Lord revealed himself in a vision to a man named Ananias who was praying. And the Lord said to him in verse 11, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many of this man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority from all the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. And the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, or a chosen cup of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. I'll go back to Matthew 20. Glory to God. Matthew 20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Matthew 20, when we started at verse 17, we were talking about what the disciples were asking. And of course, again, and Jesus said in verse 22, or verse 23, he said, You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and my father and on my left is not mine to give, but it is prepared for whom? Prepared for those of whom is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called to them, to himself, and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's carrying the cup. That's carrying the cup. In Luke 22. Hallelujah. Luke 22. Hey, when we have communion today, we're going to know. In Luke 22 and verse 14. Glory to God. Is everybody there? And when the hour had come, Jesus sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks. Let me tell you something. You and I are to always take our cup and give thanks. No matter what it is, he says, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. And he took the cup. Hallelujah. And he what? He gave thanks. Take this. And I say to you, I will no longer eat. I'm sorry. Let's start over in 15. And he said to them with fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of this, eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks. Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of God goes, as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. Not only must we carry the cup, but we must understand that the cup that God has given me and you now is a representation of new covenant, new promises, new blessings, new access. Everything is anew. And let me tell you something. There'll be always one that will betray you. Sometimes more than one. Always one will betray you. He'll seem like he's carrying the same cup. Remember, we talked about the cup as a representation of price. Go to verse 41. And Jesus was in the garden, Gethsemane, and he withdrew himself from his three disciples that he took with him about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed, and he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Lest we enter into temptation. Let me share something with you. It's important that we not let this cup pass us by. We must be willing to do the will of God, or we will end up in temptation. Amen. Rejecting the will of God is accepting temptation. Amen?
Amen?
We must pay the price of the cup that God has given me and you. No one said carrying the cup was going to be easy. But I'm telling you, when your cup is overfilled, and drinking of the cup is a wonderful thing. There is great pleasure and great reward in drinking of the cup. Glory to God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 10. Is everybody there? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10. Now let's start at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. Is everybody there?
Amen.
All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank out of the spiritual rock that followed him, and that rock was Christ. Do you understand that it's a representation that you and I are drinking out of that same rock in this cup that God has given me and you? We are drinking the same spiritual food that he's given me and you. Let's go a little further. In verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of what?
Blessing.
Which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and partake of the table of demons. He's talking about worldliness, the things that are idols in our lives. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Idolatry is of the world, isn't it? We can't drink of the Lord and drink of the demons. He calls it drinking of the demons, partaking in the things of the world that are bringing fulfillment. And Matthew 10. All praise God. Hallelujah, the cup of victory. Praise be to God. In chapter 10, in Matthew, in verse 37, chapter 10 and verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. What's he talking about? Amen. Your cup. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man's name, a righteous man, and the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Let me share something with you which is very important. We cannot give. In other words, God's given us something inside of our cup, isn't it? There's something inside of our cup. In other words, His will, a part of what we're to do to fulfill. He is molding and melting us according to His will, isn't He? Do not try and pass on your cup to somebody else. Amen. Cup of what? Now listen. God has given us a purpose and a will, hasn't He? He's given us so many times when our cup becomes unclean. I'm trying to use the nice words here. Unclean, dirty. And the inside becomes contaminated, we want to pass it on. You can't. How dare us try to pass our garbage on to somebody else? No. You're to lift your cup to the Lord and search it through so that your own cup can get clean so that He can refresh you with new wine. Nobody else can clean your cup, man. And nobody else can fill your cup. Do not pass it on. Do not pass it on. You cannot pass it on. Does everybody get it? We must be responsible for our own cup. It's called maturity. It's called growing in the Spirit. Letting Christ be formed in us. Don't pass on your cup to somebody else. And don't go ask somebody else to clean your cup. Take your own responsibility. And go to the Lord. And let Him guide you. So that your cup will maintain cleanliness and stay polished. And only then will you maintain a new wine. And fresh wine. Amen? Go to John 6. Glory! John 6. That's why he says, give a glass in my name, right? Give a glass in my name. But don't give an unclean glass in his name. Don't pass on your garbage to somebody else. Don't become a grumbler and a complainer. Oh, that's passing your cup on to somebody else. That's passing your cup on to somebody else. Hallelujah. And chapter John 6 and verse 53. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. He who eats this bread. So you and I must eat and drink of this life so that we maintain life. Amen? In other words, we must drink the drink of suffering. We must drink the drink. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. I want to show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And don't bring your cup of garbage to somebody else. No, it's known as dirty laundry too. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Stop passing your cup onto someone else. We have victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, cup carriers, hello? In much what? Oh, isn't that first word wonderful? Mm-hmm. Patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, but yet possessing all things. Possessing all things. We have the cup of victory, my brothers and sisters. We have the cup of victory that Jesus paid the price. We do not need to pass our cup of garbage on to anyone else. The only thing that we need to pass on is the victory cup. Amen. It's like the baton that's in a race. And the runner passes his baton on to the next. We pass our baton on, called the victory cup. We have victory in Christ. He has made way for everything to be fulfilled. We must keep our cup cleansed and renewed, filled with new wine, that we can pass on that true cup of victory. Amen? Go to Romans 14. And I'll close with this. Hallelujah. Romans 14. Don't be a foolish virgin. Be a wise one. In Romans 14, verse 16. Let's read this together. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Go on. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which made for peace and the things which by which no one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for man who eats with offense. Glory to God. So let us not eat of the things of the world, but let us eat continually the things of the Spirit. And as we partake of communion today, let it be known. Let it be known that you are partaking of the communion of the cup of victory. The sufferings that Jesus paid for me and you. The Bible tells us that those who have taken the cup of communion unworthily, sickness, diseases have come upon them and they have died. So let's search ourselves through. Let's search ourselves through this morning. And let's take the cup of victory in truth and in spirit. That power will be manifest in me and you to carry on the cup of victory to somebody else. You know, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Amen. He's the true vine. Out of that vine produces fruit. When that fruit is crushed, it produces the drink. We're the fruit. The Bible tells us that we must be purged to produce more fruit. When people get near me and you, they should want to be thirsty for what we have. And what we do is we pass the cup on to them, that they can learn to drink of the true vine, who is Jesus. Amen? So let God deal with you in the purging, that you can bear more fruit. And that fruit can produce wine for someone to be thirsty and to drink what you have. Because then they'll learn to drink the same drink that we have. They'll learn to carry the same cup that we carry. They'll learn to keep that cup polished. They'll learn how to put a new wineskin on for new wine. But we must be the examples. We must be the witness in our attitude, what we speak, our motives and our desires. Let's not just have a form of godliness with sour wine. Jesus took that sour wine for me and you on the cross. But let's drink of the new wine, the new covenant, the new promises, of the new power, of the new relationship, of the new love that's given out for me and you. Let's be refreshed every day in His presence and His glory. And bring your cup to Him in prayer and let Him fill it. Because He has prepared that table before me and you in the presence of our enemy. It represents prayer. So when you go to the Lord in prayer, bring your cup with you and let Him search it through. Let Him clean it and let Him fill it to carry that cup of victory to somebody else. Lord, we thank You for the cup that You prayed for us, that You made for us, Lord. Lord, by Your own hands, You have made this cup, not molded by the hands of man, but by Your hands. Lord, fill our cup today to overflowing that we may be one with You. Because our hope is in You. Our strength is in You. Our life is in You. And teach us to carry the cup of victory to someone else, in our behavior, in our words, and in Your power. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. And to God be the glory.